Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everybody, welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello Scott.
Josh, my friend, I hear that nothing is true but everything is microtransactions.
Pretty much. In terms of Assassin's Creed Valhalla anyway, there is a growing sentiment online, Scott Tilford, on the Valhalla Reddit, across forums, across a bunch of different other publications, that Ubisoft essentially isn't doing enough to fix the game because it's not in a great state at the moment, and putting far too much emphasis on microtransactions. So there was a Reddit post on the Valhalla Reddit, like I said, this was picked up by ScreenRant, PushSquare, a bunch of other websites, essentially pointing out the fact that currently in the game there are 9 sets of armor that you can get for Eivor by exploring and you're searching for wealth across the big open world, but also there are 9 sets of paid armor sets that you can buy. So people were kind of a bit confused and a bit angry that there is the same amount of armor that you have to pay for as there is in the base game itself. And this is all kind of like been snowballing over the past few months as Ubisoft has essentially focused on the microtransaction store that's in the game and its upcoming roadmap, as opposed to, you know, fixing bugs or fixing issues. Because when the game launched, and I didn't really know this because I was playing on PlayStation 5, where it was mostly good, like there was a lot of screen tearing, a lot of performance issues at times, but for the most part, I only encountered one game-breaking glitch and not much else. But apparently on like the last-gen versions, that's not been the case. And at launch especially, there were a lot of storylines and threads that just would die and wouldn't allow you to continue without having a patch or a fix or a workaround. And it does suck. But yeah, the general sentiment is that Ubisoft isn't really taking that side of it seriously, and is instead just kind of like patching it over with this paid for DLC to make more money essentially. And is that a good look going forward? Because I don't think it is in a game like Assassin's Creed, you know?
I mean, also, like, the amount of armor sets that were available at launch wasn't this amount either. Like, it's become the case where we've got half and half. Like, I'm sure when it launched, I mean, they always have their Ubi Play rewards and other Uplay rewards and stuff like that. But the idea, I mean, I have to assume that the reason that the storefront stuff is doing better or is being turned around faster is just because that's an easier implementation than going in and recoding different quest lines and stuff like that. But it's a horrible look, like, for that fandom. And it reminds me of, you know, something like Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, where, you know, the mother base stuff was tweaked after the review period. The idea that, I mean, we saw a few different publishers try this, like you get out there, you get your really solid review scores, lol Cyberpunk, and then there's, you know, and then after that, I mean, it's not like necessarily the same. The idea of tweaking storefronts and microtransactions and that kind of thing is what I'm getting at, because Konami did that with MGS5, and you sort of like, you get in there, you get your really good review scores, and then once the spotlight's off you and it's just the fandom, then you can do whatever you want, because you can freak out on the Reddit and you can, you know, message each other and be like, oh my god, they've changed this thing. But it's just the way the industry works, that spotlight's rarely going to be there unless we make videos like this or someone else does a write-up saying like, hey, this thing is too much, or, you know, they've sort of pushed it a little bit too far.
Totally. I mean, we've seen that a lot with Activision, who always hold up their hands and go, look, there aren't going to be any microtransactions in this game at launch. And then, well, like you said, once the reviews have come out and people have gone, Crash Team Racing is a great game, you know, it's awesome.
So glad there's no microtransactions.
So glad there's no microtransactions. That's in print. And then, you know, a month later, they push a microtransaction store in there. It becomes a bit more aggressive. And then there's that, people are already in. People have already bought into it. And now they've got this extra system on top of it. This isn't quite as bad as that, I don't think. I think the issue here is that the game itself was not necessarily up to snuff performance-wise and technically-wise. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's a big distinction to make with the fact that, unlike Odyssey, for instance, which had so much gear that you didn't really need to buy any of the DLC stuff, there is something to be said about how few armor sets are in the game at launch, because I can see why they've done that. They didn't want the Odyssey thing of recycling a bunch of different, you know, skins perhaps, or just swapping out armor and not getting attached to it. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I do agree that that's a good idea. Like, when I'm playing through it, I feel more attached to the armor. I want to stick with specific sets and level them up. But at the same time, that also gives them a great excuse to be like, well, there's not much in here, and it'll take you 70 hours to get them all leveled up properly. Why don't you just go to the store and buy some cool ones right now? Like, I think I would be remiss to argue the fact that while I think it's a good idea overall, it does leave the avenue and option open for them to latch onto that mentality and kind of encourage you to go there rather than spending the 70 hours searching around England for yet another hood or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I think it's in, like, the thing with Assassin's Creed is that it's not, like, if they wanted to try and make the case that they need microtransactions because they need them, like, my fallback with microtransactions, one of the only times that I think they're acceptable is in a game that is a service, that is multiplayer, that has servers, that has all this sort of stuff where you need there's a team working on it and they need to be paid. But Assassin's Creed Valhalla, like, yes, there's like daily challenges, there's things that reset, but it's still a single player game that is a premier franchise, AAA thing that is sold for, you know, 60 and above pounds here in the UK, depending on which version you get. So it's not like you haven't paid a sizable entry fee. Like, I still think that it's so weird with microtransactions because it's not like they've slowed down. Like, you know, sometimes there's a spike with Battlefront 2 or Shadow of War where enough people go, this is horrible, what the hell, and it gets changed. Mm-hmm. But they are so omnipresent and so everywhere. And it's not like the stats aren't coming in saying like, hey, FIFA just made $1 billion or Call of Duty just made $1 billion or whatever. Where it's hard to make the case that, like, they're clearly not a part of gaming. And as much as I hate that, like, the stats are just right there. Yeah. But I think that in Assassin's Creed's case, like, some people, and including myself, are still like, we've paid a hell of a lot for this. You kind of shouldn't have your storefront in here at all. But I guess the reason I bring all those stats up is that brass tacks fact, enough people like this stuff. Like, it's to some degree, they want to throw more money at it and get more items.
Well, that's it, man. Like, if you're a studio, if you're a publisher looking at the numbers, like you said, Call of Duty, FIFA's making, it's just, it's ridiculous, and it's bringing in far more money than base game sales ever could, than even expansion packs ever could, you know what I mean? People it seems like people are more willing to buy a Call of Duty Battle Pass than they are a Call of Duty map pack, which we would have got, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. And that does impact something like Assassin's Creed, especially when, while the armor, of course, does have a cosmetic factor, it's also, like, the armor in the game has stats. The game uses, like, an RPG system where it'll increase your defense, it'll increase your offense, it'll have more runic abilities, you'll have more rune slots, you know, and stuff like that. So it does have a tangible impact on gaming. And it's not like you're getting, you know, short change for your money on Assassin's Creed Valhalla. You're getting a lot of content if you buy it at full price. You're getting like 100+ hour game if you want it. But at the same time, there are a few armors in there. You're going to have to buy them. It is a single player game. It's like, why are they there to begin with? Like, you know, it doesn't really necessarily, quote unquote, need it in the same way a live service game like Call of Duty or FIFA or whatever, quote unquote, needs it. You know what I mean? I think that's where it looks a little bit intrusive. And it's frustrating the player base, obviously, you know?
And there's obviously no way to get them other than paying real world money.
Yeah.
That's the bit where I'm just like, oh God, like, screw this. Like, if you want to have the option for this, then, like, okay, I can get closer to saying okay for that. As long as you have, like, a dual currency thing, some way to get it in-game and some way to just fast-track it. Like, I go back and forward on the whole... Like I said, I can fall back on, like, well, you know, you kind of need them for some games, but for the vast majority, Assassin's Creed is not going to be a franchise that I'm going to say needs microtransactions or needs them prioritized to this degree. So I think that, yeah, it's just... It's going to stand out. And, like, you know, and them doing it after launch to this degree, like, it's only, like we said, only going to be the fans who are going to be the ones stung by it, because they're the ones interacting with these systems the most. So I don't know, there's not really any budging Ubisoft. Like, it's not like they've responded on the forums or anything. It's going to take a lot more to get some change.
Yeah, I think they're just being mostly quiet about it at the moment. Like, I imagine if the Reddit post gets the same level of attention that the Reddit posts on the Battlefront forum got before launch, maybe they'll have to do something. But at the moment, it feels like with all of their games, they've had to, like, it's not just an Assassin's Creed thing. It's an Ubisoft thing, more or less across the board, where they had these storefronts in for a while. And I think the issue, again, mostly only comes when it's clear that's their priority, and the priority isn't, you know, releasing good content. Like, I think the Reddit post points out that they had a Yuletide festival that was free for players that was like all right, but it wasn't really much in the way of anything new. And then the focus still was on like grinding out for these new armors and stuff. And it's just something to keep an eye on, I think, ultimately, like going forward, see how Ubisoft adapts over this next year and how they implement microtransactions in these single player games going forward. Because ultimately, I feel like, you know, we talked about this on a podcast last week, actually. Assassin's Creed Valhalla in particular feels like a game that Ubisoft never wants you to complete. They want you playing that thing until the next Assassin's Creed comes out. And I think part of the way they've achieved that is by implementing these microtransactions. So you always have something new to get. You can continue looking for, I don't know, more silver in the game world, or looking for more mysteries, and you can do it now, six months down the line, with a swanky new bit of armor that wasn't in the game at first release, and it only costs you an extra tenner or something, you know, to pick
and
it
that
up.
And that would be, like, more palatable if the entry fee wasn't sky high. Like, they're charging a premium entry fee to start you on that treadmill, and then you get additional... at some point, it's just insulting to the people that have, like, you know, have saved up the money to buy that entry fee in the first place. It reminds me of every fighting game roster that has the floating, like, hey, press the button to buy this character. And it's like, well, I thought I bought my way in to let me play the game, and now you want to, like, throw this stuff up there. So yeah, the ongoing conversation on microtransactions just continues to be ridiculous. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. Are you playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and have you encountered these issues firsthand? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I mean, Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.